Amen. But hey, speaking of signs, knowing that we're in the last days, God doesn't tell us exactly when the rapture is going to happen. Why not? My theory is this. Let's be honest. We'd probably goof off to the very last minute, wouldn't we? Right? See, he knows that. Or even the lost person. Well, okay, he's in five. Okay, now I'll get saved. Right? So he doesn't tell us exactly, but he loves us and he gives us signs he's getting close. Now, we've seen a ton of signs that we're getting close. Okay, but as if we didn't need another one, here's another one. You tell me if this isn't happening. 2 Peter 3:3-6. First of all, he says, you must understand in the last days, what's going to be a sign you're in the last days? Scoffers will come scoffing, and because they have no evidence of God's existence and what he did. No, they scoff because they don't want to listen to God. They want to follow their own evil desires. That's the real thing that's going on. And here's what they're going to say. Where is this coming? He's promised. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. You ever hear that before as a Christian? You Christians been saying Jesus is coming back any day now. 50 years, nothing ever changes. You guys are a bunch of wackos. Including people in the church say that to us. Scoffers. It's exactly what they're saying right now. But they what? Deliberately forget. Man, you know what that literally means in the Greek, deliberately forget? I'm not joking. Dumb on purpose. These people made a choice to be dumb on purpose because God's given you tons of evidence. But they choose it. No, I'm going to be dumb on purpose. Right? That what? Long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world at that time, Noah's day, was what? Deluged and destroyed. Good thing we don't see people scoffing about God's first judgment and that he's going to do it again. It's everywhere, folks. And dare I say, not just in the world. I expect the world. I don't condone it, but I expect it because they don't know Christ. But not in the church. In the church today, we got scoffing. In fact, folks, God's consistent. One thing you don't ever want to do, don't you dare mock God. The only reason why you're sucking air right now is because of the grace and mercy of God. He brought you in. He could take you out. But don't mock God. Like this lady learned the hard way. I don't know if you guys saw this. Watch this.
Comedian Heather McDonald is out of a Valley hospital tonight after she collapsed over the weekend during a show at the Tempe Improv.
I don't mean to brag. I don't care. But I want you to know, double vaxxed, booster, flu shot, and I'm going to be honest, I have the shingle shot too. And I still get my period. What? Yes. Traveled. Went to Mexico twice, did shows, meet and greets, never got COVID. Clearly, Jesus loves me the most. Seriously. So nice. So nice.
She's doing better. Heather McDonald says she stayed at St. Joseph's Hospital over the weekend as they ran tests to figure out what happened here Saturday night at the Tempe Improv. She says they don't really know why she collapsed 3 minutes into her act.
The spirit of Arnold Horshack is all over me. Ooh, 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 ooh. I know. I'll take a stab at that. Don't mock God. And certainly don't mock, because it's not a laughing matter, what's happening to people with these COVID shots. Because they ain't just dropping. They're dropping like flies dead. And it's still not over. Watch this.
Cal News at 7 on CBS, streaming on CBS News Los Angeles. I'm Rachel Kemp.
And I'm Michelle Medina in for Sheba. Who is ready for some sunshine? I know I am. Let's start off with a check of your next weather with meteorologist Alyssa Carlson. She joins us live in the studio. Alyssa, this really is the calm before the storm.
Not again. Oh.
You know, we're going to go ahead and go to break right now.
Yeah.
The iconic guitarist collapsed on stage about an hour into his show.
Has collapsed while on concert.
Loaf reportedly collapsed on stage.
He was taken to hospital after collapsing on stage while performing one of his most famous songs.
Stagehands erected a makeshift curtain.
The 8-year-old collapsed and stopped breathing as
the team worked to revive the singer, but ultimately could not.
Thank you.
collapsed.
The player collapsed.
Collapsed and died.
Died after collapsing.
He collapsed.
He collapsed.
He collapsed.
Seems that there's a second player who's collapsed.
This is unusual.
I've never seen anything like this. Yes. Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah, what's happening?
That is the big question. What caused this?
There has been a sharp rise in unexplained deaths during the pandemic.
The number of deaths with unknown causes has gone up over the last 3 years.
Deaths that are not listed as COVID-related.
I'm sorry, I'm feeling really dizzy.
Healthy young people are dying suddenly from a mysterious syndrome.
Sudden adult death syndrome.
SADS is an umbrella term to describe unexpected deaths in young people.
There is some evidence that some sort of delayed reaction to COVID.
Unknown causes? No. Don't scoff. Don't mock. We all know what's causing it. It's the COVID shots. Again, I was just in Washington yesterday, flew back last night at a conference there. It was just outside of Seattle is where it was at. And I had a conversation with one of the gentlemen there who owns a large business that makes headstones. And he come up to me, he says, Pastor Billy, I saw it happen before my very eyes. I make headstones for a living. He says the first year when the COVID bioweapon came out and they released it, he said no difference in business. But as soon as they came out with the vaccine, immediately, and he says, and it hasn't stopped. That's my business. And he's a Christian. This is what's going on. You can laugh, scoff, mock, deny, put your head in sand all you want, but this is not a joke. And as we've been doing our study the last six times, a big part of it is from this guy. This murderous behavior, he's not the only one, but he's tricked a bunch of people on the planet to go along with his murderous agenda. His name is Klaus Schwab. Okay, and believe it or not, he is putting together what I believe the Bible warned us about 2,000 years ago, something globally called the Antichrist Kingdom. As we've been seeing, this shouldn't be a surprise because Klaus Schwab grew up in Hitler's world, okay? And his dad was buddies with Hitler's. You can see him there on the right, Eugene Schwab, okay? And this is where I believe that Klaus got a lot of his ideas from, including the current Holocaust that we're seeing. He's just doing basically what Hitler did in Germany, and now he's bringing it to the whole planet. But of course, you can't say that it's the rise of the Third Reich or even the Fourth Reich. That's too obvious. He just calls it the Fourth Industrial Revolution or the Great Reset, and he admits they've been working on this for a long time, but what was the trigger to start putting it all into play across the planet? His words, not mine. What's he say? The pandemic, represents a rare but narrow opportunity to what? Reflect, reimagine, and what? Reset our world. To bring in this Fourth Industrial Revolution or the Great Reset. That's what he's doing. And basically, it's Hitler's Germany across the planet. We've seen proof of that, the current Holocaust with Klaus Schwab. We've seen the murderous motive. They consider us useless people, which is a phrase that came straight out of Hitler's Germany. We've seen that he's taking control of the food supply. He's also using the food to murder and manipulate and cause people to be dumb and docile. He's also genetically modifying the food. Harming us. And then last time we saw they're using technology to modify all of life, okay, just like Hitler did. And it's not just that, wow, that's just a quinky dink. What did Jesus say? This is the same kind of stuff that God judged the planet the first time, and it's going to happen again, unfortunately, in the last days. Jesus said, as it was in the days of who? Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. And in Noah's day, there was a hybridization going on, and so we should be able to see that if, in fact, the return of Christ is getting near. Well, guess what? It is. And it's not coming. It's already here, and it's already being used on all of life. Two different kinds of genetic altering technology. This is what we saw last week. The first one's called CRISPR. CRISPR is a genetic altering technology they've had out at least since 2012, at least that they'll admit. It could have been longer. They lie all the time. But in 2012, and it literally allows them to slice and dice the individual strand of a DNA, okay, of anything, human, animal, plants, you name it, right? And they can only take something out, put it back together. They could take something out and put something else in there, mix and match, including with animals and different organisms and stuff. And it's crazy, okay? And it's not coming. It's already here and already being used, okay? But then the second gene editing altering technology we saw that Klaus and the gang are using across the planet is the mRNA technology, okay? Messenger RNA. And you're going like, wait a second, that sounds familiar. Well, it should, because that's the technology they put in the vaccines that are not vaccines. We were lied to. They're gene editors. mRNA technology modifies a person's genome by definition. And as we saw, Elon Musk stated, synthetic mRNA is basically a man-made computer code that can be used to reprogram a person's computer code, i.e. your DNA, and turn them, if they wanted to, quote, a butterfly, if we wanted to. I don't know. I'm not a scientist, nor do I play one on TV. But last time I checked, a butterfly is not a human. And you got technology to change this into anything you want? When's the last time we saw that kind of behavior? According to the Bible, as freaky as it is, that is what went on in the days of Noah, which is what God judged the planet for. It's crazy, folks. It's all being repeated. But as we saw, this is nothing new. Hitler wanted to do the same thing. He just didn't have the technology to pull it off, but these guys got it now. It's Hitler's eugenics program on steroids, and they're doing it just in time for the return of Jesus Christ, which now leads us to the seventh one, and that's Klaus Schwab and the genetic altering apocalypse. Now, the reason why I say that is I believe, again, the Bible teaches us a great truth about God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if he saw a behavior that was sinful, and it was so sinful, he says, that's it, I'm going to judge the planet. And if he sees it again, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to do it again. So these guys, again, are not just repeating the same genetic altering of humanity and all of life, just like the days of Noah. It's happening today. So guess what does that mean? God is going to judge this planet again. Because they're doing it again, okay? And I want to prove that to you. But before we get to that, okay, let's take a look at the last time that we saw a literally globally apocalyptic scenario happen on the planet because of this behavior. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 is our opening text, and it's page 8 on my Bible. And if you got large print, it might be 17 or something. I don't know. Depends on what the font size is. But if you find Revelation, close it, start all over. It's the first book of the Bible. Right? And if you find chapter 6, there you go. Genesis 6, 1 through 7, let's stand and read God's holy word. Let's take a look at what happened at the last, literally, planet-wide apocalypse from God. And why did he do it? All right? Let's take a look there. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 says this. When men began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God, fallen angels, saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. And then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years. The who? The what? A weird creature, specifically called out. The Nephilim, as we saw before, were on the earth in those days and also afterward. When the sons of God, the fallen angels, went to the daughters of men and had children by them. What? I wonder what kind of freaky thing that created. It created the Nephilim. And they were known as heroes of old and men of renown. And so that's it. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. So the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I've created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground, you know, those buggy things, and birds of the air. Why? Because I am grieved that I made them. You may be seated if you can. But this is the last time that God judges planet. It was an apocalyptic scenario. We call it Noah's flood, right? You can mock and scoff all you want. But here's the deal. This is what people are mocking and scoffing at. And dare I say, even the church. Oh, he didn't do that. You can't take those. That's just a story to teach us about good morality. No, it was a literal worldwide flood. He literally judged the planet. God literally hit a restart button on humanity. Says, that's it. Start over, down to 8 people. Let's try this again. That's it. Noah and his family, 8 people survived. That's it. The whole planet's wiped out. And the animals that were on the ark. It was a restart. Why? Because it wasn't just a lackadaisical scoffing society. Jesus talks about that as well, does Peter in Matthew 24. And even in this text, it says the thought of man was continually wicked. And we certainly see that today. But even this weird tweaking of humanity into something that's not God's design is taking place as well. So if he judged it then, what do you think he's going to do today? He's going to do the same thing. And again, it's a sign that Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back. He's going to judge this. These guys ain't going to get away with it for much longer. Matthew 24, 37, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be, not maybe not my, at the coming of the Son of Man. And again, you're like, well, Pastor Billy, now you're starting to get into that freaky territory. You're like one of those guys that wears those tinfoil hats, right? Somebody sprayed chicken juice on you. You're not thinking straight. Now you got on with the line. These guys ain't going to try to tweak us into something non-human. Oh, yeah, they are. I've been warning this from the rooftops, man, everywhere I go, as many people as I can, including churches that will listen. The Great Reset. We know the Great Reset, certainly here at Sunrise. And some Christians are catching on, and even the world. They understand that when Klaus Schwab speaks of the Great Reset, he's talking about an economic reset. Right. That's why Biden was put in. Again, Biden stands for bumbling, imbecile, destroying entire nation. He's doing it on purpose because the American dollar is the backbone of the current global economic system. And if you want to reset it, you have to get rid of the existing one. That's why he's not just making dumb decisions. It's deliberate decisions to destroy us. Because they want to use that crisis as an excuse to reset it. And they're going to reset it into a cashless society. And then, we'll eventually get to this in our study if we're still alive and still here. Then Klaus admits, that's the first step. The next step is to biometrically connect you to this digital matrix system. Now, we usually get that. Here's my point, and this is what I've been shouting from the rooftops. That's only half of the same coin of the Great Reset. You flip it over, it's not just an economic reset. It's a human reset. They want to turn us into what they call, and they make it sound like, oh, it's a great thing. We're elites. We're here for you. We're not only going to basically establish the mark of the beast system, but we won't call it that. That's too obvious. But we literally want to create what they call human 2.0. With genetic altering technology, they want to create a new humanity. The leaders of the planet with these wonderful motives for you and I. Now, if you think I'm off the deep end on this, once again, let's listen to Yuval Noah Harari. He's the science advisor to Klaus and the gang. And he freely warns, when these guys are done with the planet, he warns you and I right now today, humans, we're the last generations of real humans. Watch this. It's on tape, and it's at the World Economic Forum in 2018. Watch this.
So I want to talk to you today about the future of our species. And really the future of life. Science is replacing evolution by natural selection with evolution by intelligent design. Not the intelligent design of some god above the clouds.
Mocking
but
God.
Our intelligent design. Earth will be dominated by entities that are more different from us than we are different from Neanderthals or from chimpanzees. Because in the coming generations, we will learn how to engineer bodies and brains and minds. Now, how exactly will the future masters of the planet look like? Humanity will split not into classes. It will split into species, into different species. We are probably one of the last generations of Homo sapiens.
So much for being a conspiracy theory. They meet every year to discuss what they're going to do to the planet, including us. By the way, future masters of the planet, who do you think you are? You're mega millennials? That's what they're doing. I mean, after all, they're elites. They know better than the rest of us. But what's their plan? Not just an economic reset, it's a what? A human reset. And they're already saying, we're probably the last real humans. But they think it's a good thing to make us. And what is that? That's a repeat of the days of Noah, a tweaking of humanity. It's happening before our very eyes. It's crazy. Oh, and by the way, that was 2018 World Economic Forum. We're the last generation of true humans. You're forewarning. 2 years later, you launched the bioweapon. And it wasn't about, as we know now, curing COVID, getting rid of COVID. Because it never did and never would have. It was all to trick people to what? Line up and get a what? A gene editor and start the process. Wow. You wicked, wicked people. And you're going like, where'd he get this idea from? Klaus and the gang and the world. Well, he grew up in Hitler. He grew up in Hitler's world. Eugenics. And let's take a look at, again, it's not my chance. This is they think now they want to bring eugenics to the world. But let's take a look again at that mindset in Hitler's day. It's just being repeated today across the planet. Here's what they did, just a taste of it. Watch this.
Franz Dangl was a career policeman. He was an Austrian. And with the arrival of Nazism, he joined the Nazi Party, and he also became a member of the SS.
Then he worked his way up the Nazi Party ranks.
Stengel was drafted into a special program in Austria at Hartheim Castle.
He takes part in the T4 program. People who are crippled or mentally handicapped are gassed to death on the grounds that they are untermenschen, they are inferior beings.
It was a training school for mass murderers. They were carefully groomed.
Can you stand there and watch people being injected? Can you stand there and watch 150 people being gassed in the chamber?
He enjoyed murdering people in Hartheim. He was a passionate believer in Hitler's theories of race and the superiority of the Aryans.
Good thing that went away after World War II. Nobody's going to try to do that again. Eugenics movement never went away, folks. As we saw, if you were here last week, it started in Britain, came to America, and then went to Germany. And then a lot of these guys were allowed to not be prosecuted because they had scientific knowledge, which means they didn't go away. Did you catch that phrase there? Can you stand there and watch people being injected and murdered on a massive scale? Yeah, those guys are back on the planet again, folks. We just call them by a different name. Humans are not just being murdered, they're being genetically modified into something non-human, and they think it's a good thing. We're the last generation, they say, of Homo sapiens. You think God's just going to stand by and do nothing? No, he judged it the first time. He's going to judge it again. But I want to show you, folks, that Klaus and the gang are leading us towards another genetic apocalypse, just like last time. And it ain't just humans. We'll get into that, Lord willing, in our next study. It's all of life. And it's not coming. They're already doing it. They're messing with God's design, just like in the days of Noah. Now, the first example is modified insects. Now, doesn't that bug you? This totally bugs me. It bugs me that they want us to eat bugs. But now you take a look at what else they're doing with the bugs. It really bugs me. And they are genetically modifying about every kind of insect. This has already been done, not coming. It's already being done. And I'm talking about fruit flies, flies, moths, silkworms, wasps, beetles, butterflies, you name it. Even mosquitoes are being totally messed with in a dangerous way, as you can see here. Let me just give you this example.
Over the last few decades, scientists have turned to a new way of reducing mosquito numbers. Genetic modification.
The ability to transmit disease is influenced by a number of genetic traits.
To edit the gene, they use CRISPR, a relatively new technology that's used to modify DNA. As a result, even the female offspring of the modified mosquito were born with mouthparts that could not pierce skin, rendering them unable to feed from blood, and it also made them sterile. Now scientists had a genetically modified mosquito, but they wanted to ensure they could spread the modification throughout a wild mosquito population. Normally, when a mosquito with a modified gene mates with a non-modified mosquito, half the offspring would have the modified gene and half would be normal. But scientists have another trick up their sleeves. It's called the gene drive, and it's very controversial and pretty awe-inspiring. A gene drive increases the odds of the modified gene being passed on to offspring. That means individuals with one copy of the modified gene inherited from their father can now copy the modification onto the unmodified gene inherited from their mother and pass on the gene to up to 100% of their offspring. The point is, we still don't know enough about the potential consequences of unleashing animals with a genetically modified gene drive.
Using a technology that's, you know, instrumentalizing extinction as a tool, that's a new threshold that human beings have not crossed before.
At least not since the days of Hitler. Did you catch what they're doing here? It isn't just they're genetically modifying, in this case, mosquitoes. And it isn't just mosquitoes they're doing it with. They developed something called what? A gene drive that drives this genetic altering not only into the one mosquito, but the literally whole species. You are forcing a genetic change in the whole species. But don't worry, I'm sure it'll work out just fine. Messing with God's design, as if you can improve on what he's already done. No, it's already ending horribly wrong. And it's going to be just like last time. It's going to lead to an apocalyptic scenario. And I quote, it's already started. GMO mosquito experiment goes, quote, horribly wrong. Insects adapt and overcome, listen, transforming into, direct quote, super mutant mosquitoes. That, quote, could cause mass death across South America. Poor guys down in South America. And I quote, this is 2021. Hey, guess what? Genetically modified mosquitoes have been okayed for a first U.S. test flight, which means now they're here. So they're genetically modified. They got this gene drive that forces their changes into another organism. What's going to happen when that mosquito gets us? Now, that's bad enough. Listen to what they're also doing. They're purposely genetically modifying some of these insects to have, and I quote, what's called behavioral abnormalities by injecting chemicals into the brains. Why? To stimulate worker-like hunting behavior, as if we need more aggressive insects. They're also, quote, they said, this could lead to another danger that they have conveniently labeled for us with an acronym called RIDDLE, R-I-D-L, R-I-D-L, RIDDLE. Riddle me this, Batman. And it stands for this. Release of insects carrying dominant lethals, which means it's a strategy using genetically engineered insects to carry a lethal gene in their genome that causes death in another organism. So, yay! I hate mosquitoes as it is. But they can now kill you? What are you guys doing? You think it's going to turn out good? Oh, by the way, there's no regulatory lid on this. There's no process for you and I to go, hey, that's you shouldn't do that. Genetically modifying mosquitoes so that they can kill other organisms, including us, you may not want to do that. We're going to go to the courts. There's no recourse. Who are you going to call? Don't say it. And you're thinking, there's no way they're going to release genetically modified mosquitoes that carry a lethal gene in their genome that causes death in another organism. And I quote, it has already been used in the Grand Cayman Islands, Panama, and Brazil. And not just for mosquitoes, they're developing it for use in the diamondback moth, the meal fly, and the olive fly. So now a whole bunch of bugs could kill us. Doesn't that bug you? It bugs me. Now, again, they're doing this all kinds of stuff. And folks, you wonder why God said, don't hybrid things out. I made everything for a purpose. Humans and animals and plants. I know what I'm doing. It's called intelligent design with a capital I. You mess with it, it ain't going to go well. You're not God. You can't improve on what he's already done, but that's what these guys are doing. And they know it's going to lead to an apocalyptic scenario. And I quote, humanity has reached a tipping point of developing technology so profound that it can destroy the human race. But they're still doing it. Sounds a little apocalyptic to me. Let me give you another one. That's just the first thing that bugs me, insects. The second one is genetically modified plants. Now, if you were here last week, we saw that they're taking that gene editing technology, mRNA, and they're putting it into the plant supply, which is a portion of our food supply. That's bad enough. But that's just the beginning, folks. And it's not coming. It's been being done for years. Pick any plant, just about any kind of plant, and it's already probably genetically modified from the original of God's design. And I'm talking about, and I quote, alfalfa, cotton, corn, soybean, sugar beets, eggplant, carnation, roses, papayas, potatoes, squash, sugarcane, tobacco, rice, tomatoes, apples, beans, flax, plums, sweet peppers, and on it goes. And the changes they're making are pretty freakish. When's the last time you guys had, scorpion cabbage? I wish I was making that up. Watch this.
You've probably been ingesting and living with genetically modified plants without even knowing it. Bug-killing corn. The corn borer is a nightmare insect specifically for farmers specializing in growing maize. Thanks to genetic modifications to regular corn, corn that may be in your refrigerator right now, the corn borer is no longer a big issue. This genetically altered crop produces the BT protein, which acts as an insecticide against the crop's biggest enemy. To keep the borer from evolving a natural immunity against the protein, non-browning apples. Ever cut into an apple and set it aside for a minute? By the time you turn back to your fresh fruit, it's already starting to look a little worse for wear. The browning process, or oxidation of the apple, is very rapid. But there's a cure-all in a genetically modified version produced by Okanagan Specialty Fruits in Canada. These specially treated Arctic Golden and Arctic Granny apples are developed through a gene splicing process that negates the chemical reaction responsible for the browning process. As of 2015, the U.S. Department of Agriculture decided to deregulate the engineered apples, starting a long road to consumer consumption. Scientists have moved forward in creating what is being dubbed a super banana. Though they look like their untouched common household fruit, the engineered end product has increased levels of vitamin A. The modification was done in hopes of helping the thousands that succumb annually to fatal vitamin A deficiencies. By 2020, researchers hope to have the product in Rwanda, Kenya, Tanzania, and Uganda, pending trials in the United States. Cancer-fighting tomatoes. Though the tomato has been associated with helping stave off prostate cancer, a series of genetic modifications have produced something that may be quite a bit more beneficial, the purple tomato. Initially grown in a Leamington, Ontario greenhouse, has been altered to produce a higher level of anthocyanins, pollution-fighting plants. High levels of pollutants are a growing concern for much of the world, and part of the answer may be in an unexpected source. Scientists and researchers have begun to look at grass and trees as an alternate and inexpensive means of battling toxins. But to do so, a little genetic modification will be needed. Venomous cabbage. It's going to be difficult to market cabbage spliced with a scorpion venom-created virus, but that's one of the many genetically engineered plants on the horizon. While we're conditioned to fear getting stung by a scorpion, the venom being interlaced with heads of cabbage will not be harmful to humans, or so we hope.
Key words there, so we hope. So hey, if you want to sound like a real rich person, next time you go to the restaurant, hey, excuse me, do you have any Grand Poupon? Forget that. That's 80s stuff. Excuse me. Do you have any scorpion cabbage? This is sick. What are you doing merging a scorpion with a cabbage? Or so we hope. It won't work out. Did you notice the one before that was pollution-fighting plants? Again, see, we're here to save the planet, the elites. And so we're going to tweak humanity and all of life because we're going to create our own utopia because we know better. They're not only wanting to make glow-in-the-dark trees. You know, certain animals have fluorescent quality, so they merge them with the trees, and the trees glow. And that way, you can save on electricity, which is destroying the planet, apparently. And so that you won't need a nightlight, you can have a glow-in-the-dark plant. They're doing it to trees, too, because then you won't need street lights. This is insane. This is what they're doing. But here's even worse than that. They want to make what's called transgenic trees. Now, that's a new term. Transgenic plants, transgenic animals. Oh, by the way, transgender people. We'll get into this probably in the next study. There's a reason why they're being consistent with that terminology. A transgenic thing is something that is genetically modified from the original and a mixing and matching. This is one of the reasons why they're pitching the transgender movement. Isn't just because for every person that goes down that route, Big Pharma earns from a lifetime of drugs and surgeries $1 million, $1.3 million per person. Big money. But it's a mindset that they want the planet to have. You can be whatever you want to be. Because they plan to change us into something non-human. They're preparing the mindset. Do you see the big long-term game that's going on here? It's not even just about the... And they don't care about those people. These guys are sick. Again, the video at the front showed Hollywood dropping like flies. Hollywood was used to promote the jab. Did you see any politicians on there? They don't care about people. They don't even care about Hollywood that they use. It's crazy, folks. But anyway, transgenic trees. Listen to this. The trees are developed by Futurogene. And the trees, listen, not only has a speedy growth, but they absorb, listen, carbon dioxide from the air by about 12%, quote, to aid in the fight against greenhouse gas emissions. Not 1.2, 12%. That's a big percentage of now messing with God has intelligently designed the exact chemical ratio we need in our atmosphere to breathe, which last time I checked comes in handy if you want to live. And so now you're genetically modifying trees to literally, on a large percentage, mess with the gas percentage that we need to breathe. I'm sure that'll go well. That's crazy. Oh, and by the way, they even admit the genetically modified trees do pose some biosafety issues with their potential impact on plants, animals, and the soil around them. Why? Because, and I quote, "We wonder what all this will do to the composition of honey made by bees that visit the trees. Quote, this could have ripple effects worldwide." Turn to somebody and say, duh. But they're still doing it. But again, wait a second. So that's bad enough. Scorpion Cavalage. You want to practice? Sound fancy, man. Way better than Grey Poupon. But wait a second. This is it's bad enough that you're wanting us to eat insects, and now you're modifying the insects. But we eat plants. What's going to happen to us when we eat genetically modified plants? That's the elephant in the room. Well, there's not an elephant in the room anymore. Even in their own industry, they admit it's not going to go well. Watch this, okay, from them.
In humans, the number one most common side effect of eating GM foods is allergic reaction. This happens when certain allergens present in the GM crop enters the body and stimulates an immune response. Genetically modified foods are created by inserting foreign genes into an organism. This process is considered to have adverse effects on humans because these inserted genes may carry along with them specific allergens that trigger such an immune response. In addition, there's also the fear that new allergens could happen because of the mixing of the genes from two organisms. And because some inserted genes come from bacteria and viruses, the possibility of transfer of disease is there as well. There is concern that genetic modification, which can boost a crop's resistance to disease or make it more tolerant to herbicides, could affect people's ability to defend against illness. There is a small chance that the genes in the food could transfer to the body or bacteria in the gut. Some GMO plants contain genes that make them resistant to certain antibiotics. This resistance could pass on to humans. People around the world are becoming increasingly resistant to antibiotics and GMO foods that could be contributing to this crisis. A huge majority of plants in the United States are genetically modified. Such crops are subsequently given to livestock as food, which affects animal-based groceries. GMO components can be traced in eggs, milk, seafood, and animal muscle tissues. In addition, honey can also contain components of GMO because of bees pollinating genetically modified plants.
In other words, we just messed up the whole ecosystem. That's all. Come on. Give us a break. We're trying to do this for you because we're elites. You literally messed everything up. God has everything finely tuned, intelligently so. And these arrogant, rebellious, satanic people think they can do better than God. And somehow it's not going to go wrong. But don't worry. They'll be honest with you when it does go wrong, right? Now, we've already seen that they lie through the teeth on a lot of this stuff, and they don't even tell you when you're ingesting a lot of this stuff, okay? And by the way, did you notice some of the side effects there? Have you noticed me just in the last several years? Allergies have gone through the roof. Weird allergies popping up that we've never had before. I'm sure that's a quinkadink. Skin disorders and rashes and all kinds of weird stuff is coming. Like, never been here before. And people just getting all these weird diseases. That's from their own camp, folks. If you think they're going to be honest with us, and I quote, "All that is known about such research and development activities comes from published academic papers, listen, and what companies have chosen to voluntarily disclose." They ain't going to tell us the truth. And again, modified plants, genetically modified plants, they're not just coming, they're already here, and dare I say, they're everywhere. And I quote, this is from a plant expert in the University of Florida, and it says this, quote, "There isn't a single crop that I know of in your produce aisle that is not drastically modified from what is out there in the wild." In other words, from God's original design. And this is even from Consumer Reports, direct quote, "Pretty much every food sample that they tested contained GMOs, included things like breakfast cereals, baby formulas, veggie burgers, and popular chip brands. It's all already been modified." And if you don't think that they know that they're flirting with fire and they're going to create an apocalyptic scenario like what happened last time, then tell me why they're doing this. They know what they're doing, folks. It ain't going to end well. Watch this.
Preserving crop diversity and perhaps even the future of life on Earth happens in the world's most barren landscape, the Arctic Circle. A slice of concrete pokes out from a frozen landscape a stone's throw from the North Pole. It marks the spot where the ultimate seed library holds the genetic keys to human survival. Locked behind five doors, inside a mountain 130 meters above sea level, a series of tunnels leads here. Some call it the most important room in the world. It was built to withstand explosions, climate meltdown, and to last 200 years. The seeds are stored in a chamber that is cooled to minus 18 degrees. Even if there was a power cut, the vault would take decades to reach zero, thanks to a layer of insulating permafrost.
On this side, we have wooden boxes from Tajikistan, Armenia over there, some from Azerbaijan. These are from Colombia. There is an international center, CIAT, in Colombia. We have Portugal, Costa Rica. This row is from Zambia, Ukraine here, and from International Potato Center in Peru here. North Korea, South Korea. These are from South Korea. On the other side, we have boxes from North Korea.
Okay.
So, all countries cooperate here in this great mission of conserving seeds.
It has earned the nickname the Doomsday Vault, as it's supposed to preserve Earth's agricultural diversity in a worst-case scenario. The Svalbard Vault was created for moments like this. A global insurance policy to ensure the genetic wealth of agricultural production for the future.
What do you know that we don't know? What are you not telling us? Why are you storing all the seeds, the master seeds, on the planet? Oh, by the way, the place that you and I... How many guys have been to Svalbard lately? I go there every weekend, every chance I get. Out in the middle of nowhere, nobody's ever going to go. Why are you doing that? Do you know that you're flirting with fire? I think so. Oh, by the way, even communist countries like North Korea is cooperating with this doomsday vault. And you wonder why, after the flood, God knowing man's wicked heart, he said this, Leviticus 19:19, do not plant your field with two kinds of seed. I judged this last time. Don't you dare do it again. This was 900 years after the flood. Don't start mixing your plants together. And these wicked people are doing it again, folks, just in time for the return of Christ. You can build your doomsday seed vault all you want, but Jesus Christ is going to come back and judge his behavior again because you're doing again the sin of the days of Noah. Let me give you just one more real quick. The third one is genetically modified animals. Now, that's a foul picture if I've ever saw one. But what makes it even worse, we already saw the other half of the food supply they're also messing with as well. We saw that they're putting the gene editing mRNA technology in the plants. Well, if you were here last week, we saw what else are they doing? Now they're trying to get that gene altering technology into the meat supply. And that's bad enough, but that's the tip of the iceberg, what they're doing genetically to animals. Pick an animal, enemy animal, and it's probably already been genetically modified. And I quote, from pigs, fish, pets, dogs, cats, mice, cattle, chickens, ducks, turtles, sea cucumbers, rats, frogs, lobsters, oysters, snails, crayfish, shrimp, crabs, sponges, and even abalone. And it is a bunch of baloney because what they're doing, folks, is doing all kinds of freakish things just like they did with the plants. Scorpion cabbage. What are you doing to the scorpion with the cabbage? They're doing the same thing to the meat supply. But don't worry. Somehow it's going to work out okay. It's going to be for our good. They know what they're doing. I mean, they know better than God. I mean, God, you know. Let me start with just, I'll give you a couple quick, very quick examples. Starting with salmon. Everybody always goes to that one, right? Hey, if you want to eat right, man, you got to eat fish. Oh, salmon. You may not want to eat this salmon. But the danger is you may already be eating the salmon and you don't know. You know what they call it? It's not only a salmon that has, I'm not joking, six-pack abs. It grows freakishly huge. But you know what they call it in the industry? Frankenfish. Watch this.
BC is famous for its salmon, but there will soon be competition from a genetically modified variety on store shelves.
Health Canada has approved what critics are calling a frankenfish, and now a local member of parliament is raising concerns because shoppers won't know if it makes its way onto their tables.
Salmon, the ocean's natural superfood, is about to come in a very unnatural variety. Health Canada has given the green light to an American company that wants to sell genetically modified fish, taking DNA from a Chinook salmon and a sea eel and merging them with an Atlantic salmon. Aqua Bounty is able to produce a farmed fish that grows much faster. Health Canada says, given that no health and safety concerns were identified, there are no special labeling requirements.
In other words, you won't know if you're eating frankenfish. What's that? You would like to have some Grey Poupon on your scorpion garage? How about some frankenfish on the side? This is stupid. It's rebellious. Who do you think you are, God? You think it's going to go well? By the way, they said in that interview, quote, "We know there are a lot of health concerns with this fish, but they're still doing it." Now, as if you needed another reason to stop eating foul meat. Got to kick this one. They're doing all kinds of wacky stuff to chickens. Okay, it's bad enough that they exist. But anyway, they're making genetically modified chickens that don't grow feathers. They're featherless chickens. They're genetically modified. They will not produce a feather. Like, why would they do that? Because the way that they house them in these giant corporation big, you know, it creates heat. And a lot of them die from that. So if you take all the feathers off, it's like, you know, if you're hot and you're sleeping, you take the blanket off. Then they got no feathers. Another thing that they're doing with the chickens, they're doing all kinds of weird experiments on them. And one of the things that they're doing is they're genetically modifying the chickens so that when they lay an egg, that egg now produces a drug. So instead of taking a pill to get your medicine, it's eat the egg and get your medicine. I'm sure that'll work out great. Here it is. Watch this. This is crazy.
Well, scientists in Scotland have created genetically modified chickens.
The birds are laying eggs containing cancer-killing drugs. Scientists at the University of Edinburgh say that the chickens produce human proteins in their eggs that boost the immune system and can treat arthritis and some cancers. In addition, scientists say that they found a method that makes the process a lot faster and more efficient.
In other words, we can really start cranking them out now. Woo! Yeah, give me some bacon. Give me some other cancer eggs, like my over easy with extra cancer on top. I'm sure nothing will go wrong with this. Are you kidding me? Now, as sick as that is, this one's really bad. They're messing with my cows. Well, that's fighting words, people. Messing with cows. I don't even have time to get in the pigs and all that stuff. You know, one thing that I'll just share with this is the pigs. You can check it out. It's all verified. They're making low-fat pigs. Which, last time I checked with a pig, that's kind of oxymoron. You want them fat. But they're making them low-fat pigs, right? They're making pigs that produce more omega fatty acids, which is supposed to be good for your health. But, you know, in order to create that genetically in the pig, you know what they're doing? They're mixing worm genes into the pig. Last time I checked, pigs already have the danger of trichnea or worms as it is. I don't need more worms in my pig. Right? Pick an animal, it's already being messed with. But go back to the cows. Cows, they're genetically modifying cows to, like the chickens, no feathers, cows with no horns. Because they could injure each other or they do have to dehorn. I grew up in the Midwest. That was one thing you had to do. You had to dehorn a cow. Well, you don't have to do that anymore because they don't have any horns anymore. We genetically modified that out. They're doing another thing where, especially down in South America, in order to compete with the beef market here in the U.S., South America is a little bit more tropical heat. Well, the cows don't usually do as well in our climate, right? And so they are genetically engineering the cows down there in South America to be more, quote, heat tolerant. So they're messing with their internal heat, all that kind of crazy stuff. I'm sure that'll be okay. But let me give you this one. This one's equally disturbing, and we could be here all day with examples. But cows make milk. How many guys have figured that out in life so far? Praise God, all four of you, the rest of you. I'm glad you're here. We can help you out. You know what they're doing now? They are now genetically modifying cows so that they don't produce milk, they produce human breast milk, combining humans with cows. Watch this.
Humans have been drinking it for millennia. Wholesome, healthy, full cream milk. But this dairy in Beijing isn't quite what it seems. These cows have all been genetically modified. And this is human breast milk. The Chinese scientist responsible successfully inserted the human breast milk gene into a cow embryo and then implanted it into a surrogate. The result is a transgenic herd of 300, and milk the scientists claim is healthier than the bovine variety. The human breast milk produced by the cows is antibacterial and helps boost the immune system. You may find the idea hard to swallow, but these dairy workers disagree. They say it's stronger and sweeter than cow's milk. It's a world first in a country that's leading the stampede to embrace genetically modified food. The scientists who created this herd have also produced animals that are resistant to mad cow disease, as well as beef cattle that are genetically modified for more nutritious meat. Critics say the risks of transgenic food aren't yet fully understood. China's pushing the boundaries of genetic modification, seemingly unperturbed by any ethical concerns.
In other words, whether or not God says it's okay. A godless country playing God because they believe there is no God. We can do whatever we want. And it ain't just China, folks. It's every major developed country in the world is doing this kind of stuff to all of life, including humans. And Lord willing, next time, if we're still alive, still here, we'll get to that as well. And you might be thinking, you know what? I tell you what, I am not going to get my meat or my milk from China. What's that? Did you say Costco? Do your research. After service, check out Clean Meat Co-op. Clean Meat Co-op. I didn't plan on this, folks, but God knew. And it just dropped in our lap once again, just like when the sewer pipe of the secular education. Now we can do homeschool. Now we can do education all the way to doctoral level seminary. Now, in with the COVID pandemic and the death doctors and stuff, now we got a Christian medical practice right next to us. And now he's dropped in our lap, subvert the system. This is not a joke. And I'm glad that for me personally, that I get to not only expose this, because I think it has everything to do with Bible prophecy. And we're supposed to study all of God's word. Okay. But at the same time, he knows this. And so what's he do? He gives us the workaround. Do you think it's by chance? No way. But see, that's the question. Wait a second. So we just saw that when you ingest genetically modified bugs, if you want to eat that, which I don't recommend, but plants, they have an adverse effect on you. But what's going to happen when you ingest this genetically modified meat that you don't even know you could be eating? It ain't going to go well. And I quote, as GM or genetically modified foods are starting to intrude into our diets, whether you realize it or not, concerns have been expressed regarding GM food safety. These concerns of their safety are presented as the following. And this is from, and I quote, the National Library of Medicine, not wackyguyconspiracyguide.org. Triangle hat. Oh, that's you, you wacky Christian conspiracy theory. This is the National Library of Medicine. And I quote, animal toxicity studies with GM foods have shown that they may toxically affect several organs and systems, such as hepatic, that's the liver, pancreatic, renal, or reproductive effects, and may alter the hematological, biochemical, immunologic parameters, and, quote, may promote cancer. But don't worry, it's safe and effective. How'd that work out last time they told us that? Anybody seen a pattern? You're messing with God's design. And if it didn't go well the first time, it ain't going to go well this time. And again, just like with the plants, these guys know, now tweaking with all of life, it ain't going to go well. And they know they're headed towards an apocalyptic scenario. That's why they're doing this. And listen to what they even call it. This is nuts.
Researchers at Moscow State University have quite the task on their hands. One many are comparing to the biblical story of Noah's Ark. The university plans to collect DNA material from every living thing on Earth. To be clear, that includes plants and animals on land and water. Now, there really will be an Ark of sorts, a gigantic 166 square mile facility where all the genetic material will be stored. The project is expected to be complete sometime in 2018 and will be kept on one of the university's central campuses. Russia is not the first to try to complete a feat of this nature. British scientists are working on a similar project called Frozen Ark. That project is a strategy to conserve the genetic resources of the world's endangered species. It is the animal equivalent of the Millennium Seed Bank created by Kew Gardens to conserve the seeds of the world's plants.
The Frozen Ark project was set up to preserve the genetic resources of endangered species of animals before they go extinct.
This is not a replacement for saving the species. It's an insurance. But the insurance is very powerful. I mean, it offers a huge amount of scientific information, which will be manifestly useful and probably in lots of ways that we can't think of at the moment.
This is one of the samples of an African elephant.
Well, it was like, Noah's Ark, you know. We're trying to save things from disaster. I wonder if anybody accused Noah of playing God.
No, Noah was a righteous man who was obeying God from people who were playing God. Did you notice that Russia, it's not coming, it's already done. Russia completed theirs in 2018. The same year that Yuval Noah Harari is giving his talk at the World Economic Forum, same word, the last generation of Homo sapiens. And you get your backup ready, and then 2 years later, you launch a bioweapon, which was a trick to get people to line up and start the process of genetic altering. It's like almost step by step, it's all been planned. But can you believe what they're doing? They know what they're flirting with is an apocalyptic disaster. And again, you wonder why God also said this 900 years after the flood. Don't just not mess with the plants. Leviticus 19:19, do not mate different kinds of animals. Don't start mixing all of life together again the way you think it should go. And you could build your DNA database and your seed vault and all that stuff, but you are not going to stop God from coming back to judge this planet again for this wicked behavior. He did it last time, and he's going to do it again, folks. And last time, it looked a little something like this. only those who were in the ark escaped. Why did that happen? Three things. One, society got so wicked that they scoffed at God, mocked him, and what he called sin. Didn't even want to hear it. Business as usual, eating, drinking, giving in marriage. That's today. Listen, even in churches. Mankind was continually thinking evil only all the time. That's today. And they had the audacity to think they could improve on God's design. They tweaked humanity. And all of that is being repeated today by Klaus and the gang who took Hitler's eugenics program, and now they're extrapolating around the world. And Jesus said 2,000 years ago, when you see that happen again, these things that went on in the days of Noah, he is getting ready to come back. And that's why he also says, for you and I, the born-again Christian, when these things begin to take place, and it's already happening, folks, what do? Stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. All this means, folks, is the rapture's got to be getting close. We don't know the day nor the hour. But how many more signs that God's got to give us? It's getting close. We're seeing a repeat of the days of Noah on a massive mega scale. I didn't say Jesus. That's a sign. He's getting ready to come back. And so as us, what's the response? Run, freak out. I'm never going to Costco again. No. If you love him, all this means is I'm about ready to see him. And if you love somebody, as the scripture says, you should long for his appearing. That means, man, no more invisible stuff. I'm getting ready to see him, man. That's awesome. Our wedding day approaches as the bride of Christ. Last time I checked, I've done a lot of premarital counseling, and I've never considered this a good sign. That when you're counseling the young couple, and the closer that the day gets to their wedding ceremony, and as I say, hey, guess what? Only 3 more weeks to go. Stop telling me that! That's doom and gloom. You're trying to rule my... What are you, one of those conspiracy theorists? If they said that, that's not a good sign. You shouldn't get married. We're married to Jesus Christ as the bride of Christ. All this means is, guess what? Our wedding day approaches. And if you love him, you're going, yeah! Thank you, God, for another reminder. As if I needed more, that my wedding day approaches. You long for his appearing, not run from it. And if you're running from it and all these signs that it's getting close to your wedding day, you better check your heart. It means one of two things. Christian, you're violating scripture. The Bible says, do not love this world nor the things of this world. Otherwise, the love of the Father is not in you. You're committing idolatry. That's why you don't want him to come back. That's why you don't want to hear news of it, because you really love this wicked world system. You better repent and get right with God. Number two, maybe the reason why you don't want to hear it is because you're not saved. Noah went through the same thing. Noah was laughed at. I'm sure he was mocked. What are you, a conspiracy theorist? What's with this boat? And they laughed and mocked him all the way to the very end until that first raindrop hit their head. And then they probably were beating on the ark. Noah, let us. It was too late. The door had closed. There was only one way out last time, through a wooden ark. And you had to go through the door in the ark. There's only one way out this time as well. It's a wooden cross. And Jesus Christ is the door, the only door, the only way out. Don't be like the people of Noah's day who perished because they laughed and mocked and scoffed and said, oh, come on, where is this coming? It's just the same thing. You're just trying to scare me. Don't wait until it's too late. I'll guarantee you that's why God's got you here. Once again, he's being merciful to you, trying to get your attention to say, you better get in the ark of Christ before the hammer comes down, because he's going to put a stop to this wicked, evil behavior. Amen? Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And for being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even His name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's His standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step, to admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins
if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.